What I'd like to do today is preach a passage that I preached a portion of it last Sunday evening, and many of you weren't able to be there for that. But there is a portion of it that I believe is very applicable for us as we wrap up our series on the family. So I encourage you to go to Joshua chapter 24, and some of you may have heard already. But nevertheless, it's the Word of God, and it's okay, right? We can listen to it again. This will, I believe, provide for us the launch from this series as we have been talking about the family and what does it mean to be a godly family, and what does the Bible have to say about the family. Now, our series was nowhere near exhaustive, and I hope you realize that. But I hope our time on this topic has spurred you on to digging deep into His Word as you consider your own family and your own life. Family is an important part of society. It's foundational. And each of us have the privilege of being a part of a family. And whether it be a good and strong family or a family that has been a struggle and something that maybe you're not proud of, nevertheless, God has given you a family. And as we think about the purpose of this design, yes, it's God's design. Yes, it's a place for teaching and for training. But you know, it's a place for the glory of God. It's a place for us to manifest and display God's glory. It's a place where we can be propelled forward into the ministry that God has for us, and we get to share this together with our loved ones and with our church. Last time we looked at this in this series, we talked about the family and the church and the importance of the church, and you as leaders of your family, fathers and mothers, are you encouraging your family to be a part of the local church, and not just to attend, but to be involved? And we talked about that, and we hit that pretty hard from Hebrews chapter 10. Joshua chapter 24 is in the last days, if not the last day, of Joshua's life. And as I said, we've been working through the book of Joshua and the life of Joshua on Sunday evenings, those messages are on the website if you desire to follow along and enjoy that journey with us. But this being the final chapter of his life, it's interesting what we see here. We see him gathering together the leaders of the people of Israel, out of the tribes. The leaders are gathered together, and he's giving them an exhortation from the Lord. He's as a prophet here, proclaiming God's word to the people. And you will see in chapter 24, the beginning, looking at verse 1, follow along with me. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, for their heads, their judges, their officers, and they presented themselves before God. This was not just a social gathering or just a time for a meeting, but this was a meeting before God. They were presenting themselves before him. Verse 2, Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. That's the key phrase. So from here on out, the pronouns I and me are going to be the Lord speaking. Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father, that is, I, the Lord, took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. You will see here the Lord is speaking of his actions and the things that he has done for his people along the way. He wants his people, the leaders here specifically, I want you to know what I have done for you. Our God is a God of action. He is alive. He does things. He is not one that just sits on a shelf. He does mighty, mighty things. And he just doesn't do mighty things, but he does things that are right and good. Well, as you go through here, you see all of these action verbs. Verse 4, I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. Verse 5, I sent Moses and also and Aaron. I plagued Egypt, according to which I did among them. And afterward, I brought you out, he says. Verse 6, I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen into the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. Why did they dwell in the wilderness a long season? Because they were unfaithful to this God who has done so much for them. Verse 8, I brought you into the land of the Amorites, dwell on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand and that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against the Israelites, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. And I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. If you're not familiar with that story, it's fascinating. The king Balak called for a prophet Balaam to curse the people of Israel so that they would not come and attack him. And so Balaam tried, but the only things that could come out of his mouth were blessings. Were blessings. And this is God's care for his people. Verse 11, you went over Jordan, came into Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. I delivered. I, action, action, action. He's a God of action. And I sent the hornet, verse 12, before you, which drove them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. Just reminding you, it wasn't your sword and your bow. It was me, God says. It was me. Verse 13, I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat. What a rehearsal, right, of the action and plans of God. The actions of God in the work of his people. Why does the Lord do this? This is not the only place you find this. This is a regular happening, a rehearsal of the things of God. I remember back a few months ago, I believe, we talked about Psalm 78 and talked about the importance of teaching your children God's truth. And Psalm 78 is another example of rehearsing the things that God has done. As we think about our families and we think about as we go forth seeking to proclaim God's glory and to bring him praise in our homes, we need to recognize that it is important that we focus on the works of the Lord and all that he has done for us. You will see that spelled out as we continue in this text, but keep that in your mind. What all has the Lord done? And specifically, what has he done for us, for you? This rehearsal proclaimed by Joshua being the word of the Lord. In verse 14, now continues, "Thou therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth." In sincerity and truth. "Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Now, Joshua is before the people, and this is probably his final day on earth, or at least the very end of his life. And he is proclaiming God's word to the people, and this is what God wants them to know, and he's rehearsed all of these actions that God has done. And now there's this exhortation to fear the Lord and to serve him. And to do so in what manner? In sincerity and in truth. And the next phrase and couple phrases are very revealing. Because what they reveal is a two-facedness. What they reveal about the people of Israel, even these that are standing around Joshua at this point, is the fact that they have skeletons in their closets, that they have idols in their tents, that they have things they're holding on to in their life, and the very fact that God needs to exhort them and tell them to fear and to serve him in sincerity and truth tells us that they are hiding things. Notice what it says. It says, put away the gods. Not, if you have gods in your tent, put them away. It's, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. I don't have to tell you, God knows all, right? And he has the vision to see behind the facade that we so often wear. And he can see deep within. And he knows who or what we're worshiping. There are places, and in fact, in verse 19, God is called a jealous God. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever wrestled with that? How can God be jealous? Jealous God? All right, so stick with me on this, but think about that. These people are hiding things. Now, obvious application as we think through this today for us and our homes and our families and in our lives as individuals is, what are we hiding things? Right? As the Lord takes his word and speaks forth, and he says, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, it pierces deep into our hearts and says, you know what? Am I sincere, genuine, real before the Lord? The Lord already knows, guys. He already knows everything about us, and he knows where you are in this, your relationship with him. But the call goes forth, are you fearing him and serving him in sincerity and truth? All right, so notice what it says in verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Those two things shouldn't be in the same sentence. It doesn't work, does it? But what does it say? What is this telling us about the people? Remembering that Joshua, as the leader here, proclaiming the word of the Lord, and he is saying here, listen, people, if you're here today and you're a part of the people of Israel, a name only, if serving the Lord is something that you find repulsive and not what you want to do and live, then choose this day who you're going to serve. Stop pretending. Stop standing there and acting like you're following Him when in your heart you're worshiping something else? Do I need to bring that home for us? Is this a struggle that we will deal with in our lives? For us to stand here before the Lord, and, you know, the easiest application, we say, okay, we come to church and we've got the outward, hey, I'm here. I come to church. You may even come to church multiple times in a week. But the question goes forth, who are you serving? And the question went forth to these leaders and to the people of Israel. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, if this is not what you want to do or believe that is right, then choose you this day whom you will serve. Now look at the options He gives. Whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, that would be the other side of the Euphrates, a reference back most likely to Abraham's forefathers in the in Ur of the Chaldees. Or the gods of the Amorites, those who you just defeated or mostly defeated, just on the other side of the Jordan. In whose land you dwell. So the very fact He gives them options here. So what are the options here for these people? The Lord. Or, some of you, you may want to serve the gods of Ur, the Chaldees. Or, you're living amongst people now, the Amorites, who have their own gods. But the point of the matter is, stop pretending, be real. Who are you? Are you servants of the Most High God? Are you? Choose you this day whom you will serve. What a question. Think about that. Think about as Joshua's speaking to the people of Israel, and he looks at them and he says, today is the day of decision. Today is the day pretending is over. Who are you? And make a choice today. Okay, well, you know, so here we are today here in America in 2019. And to put this into our context today, we gather together to hear the word of the Lord. And we gather together as people that on the outside are excited to be together, who sing and shake hands and smile. But as the Lord speaks, He speaks to our heart and He says, I will not be shared with anyone. So who are you really? Who are you serving? So, yeah, we don't really think much about the gods of the Ur of the Chaldees. They're just kind of far gone for us. What about the gods of the Amorites? Well, we're not dwelling amongst the Amorites. Well, who are we dwelling among? Gods, little g. Let me ask you a question. What's vying for your attention and affections in such a strong manner that it affects your relationship with the Lord? What is it? What is this, the pulling and the tensions that you feel in life that, yeah, because you're here at church, I'm going to make the assumption and I think I'm safe in this, that you know it's right to spend time with God, to invest in that relationship, to tell others about Him, to live for him in a way that's pleasing and honoring to him. You know all of these things. You know them here. What is it in your life that distracts you from that? That seeks to pull you, and before you know it, or perhaps you realize it all along, you're over here. And maybe it's throughout the week, and then Sunday's coming, and you better quick run over here. But all along, the Lord sees your heart, and the call goes forth. You need to fear him and serve him in sincerity and in truth, being genuine and real all the way through. Now, for Joshua, the people of Israel, the design behind this meeting and the presentation of this truth of the word of the Lord, I believe, was to make them understand that God will not be shared with anyone. May your affections be wholly his. So, the end of verse 15 is so very, very powerful. Because we see Joshua, in the midst of this exhortation, he speaks and he says, "But as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord." This is a declaration not made in a private closet or tent somewhere. This is a declaration made publicly as the elders and Joshua are all before God. And they are there together, and they have just heard the word of the Lord as proclaimed by Joshua. And as Joshua proclaimed this, as the leader of the people of Israel, and as the spiritual leader of his people, and specifically of his house, he makes a stand. He takes a stand. He draws the line and he says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And what is he saying by that? Is he saying outwardly, "I'm going to be busy about the work of God"? Because there's a lot of people that can be busy about the work of God on the outside, but on the inside, it lacks a sincerity and a depth and truth. I believe the context helps us in the fact that I believe Joshua, when he says we will serve the Lord, what he means is we will serve him in sincerity and in truth. We will lead the way by making sure we are not sharing our affections with anyone or anything else other than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is our God. This was a point of decision because notice he says, "Choose you this day." So I point my finger out at you because that's what the text is doing, actually, isn't it? And I point at you men. As you men are leaders of your homes. And as the text speaks to us and challenges us, choose you this day. Make a choice. And don't you love how it says, "this day"? I don't know about you, but when I get emails and they're kind of hard to handle, I just mark them as unread and save them for another day. Because I don't want to handle it right now. But no, today's the day. You choose this day. Now's the time. Now's the time. Point of decision. You ever had that point of decision in your life? And I, you know, there may be in your mind, you may think of multiple times, and I understand what that means. But you know what? We as the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to encourage and provoke one another, right, to living and for the Lord. And that's what God's Word does, and the preaching of God's Word. And that's part of what my responsibility is. I had a dear brother this morning tell me something he learned about preachers. And I'll see if I can get it right. He said, preachers do two things. They comfort the afflicted, and they afflict the comfortable. Did I get it right, brother? Yeah? Yeah, so you think about that? It's like, whoa, man. But maybe you're comfortable out there today and you're feeling the finger in the gut. And you know what? May God have His way in our lives today. Well, all the people, in verse 16, the people answered and they said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwell in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And then Joshua does something very interesting. He does not pat them on the shoulder, put an arm around them and say, all right, welcome to the family of faithful servants, brothers. No, he doesn't. He challenges them deeper. He says this, he says, verse 19, he says, Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. What is He doing? Talk about reverse psychology here. No, this is the holy word of God. Listen, this is serious. This is not just some, I can make a statement and move on kind of thing. These two qualities of God stand out, and they confront pretenders. God is holy. And sadly, I don't know if we have we don't have the full comprehension of what it means to be holy, but we know the definition. It's to be set apart. God is completely unique and set apart. He's on a different level. All by Himself, He's the holy God. There is no compromise, no sin. There's no sharing. He's holy. You cannot serve the Lord. He's a holy God. You people, you pretenders, you've got idols in your tents, and now you're saying, listen, I'll serve the Lord. No, you can't. He's a holy God. What are you people thinking? This is rough, but it's real. And it shows the depth of seriousness about our God. But not only is He holy God, but He's a jealous God. As I referenced before, He will not share our affections with anyone. Our God is satisfied only when we are wholly devoted to Him. As was already stated, fear and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Be all in. Either be all in for God or go the other way. What is happening here is a defense for the holiness of God. Because they are living in a region where there were still wicked people that did not know God, And the name and reputation of God is on the line, and the Lord cares deeply about his name. And so, church, we bear his name, Christian. And he cares deeply about the reputation of his name. Be all in. Well, the people said, no, but we will serve the Lord, verse 21. Verse 22 says, and Joshua said unto the people, well, you're witnesses against yourselves today. You've chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we're witnesses. So in other words, what they did was they set up an altar, set up a stone, and understood that they made a covenant together. Verse 23, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Again, you see it there. They had strange gods among them. The Lord knew this. Put them away from you. So if you're going to make this decision today and you're going to draw the line in the sand, then put those away from you. And incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. The people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice will we obey. And Joshua made a covenant, verse 25, with the people that day, set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man into his inheritance. So choose you this day whom you will serve. Our God is a holy and jealous God, and he knows what's in your tent, and he knows what's in my tent, and he wants us to be wholly devoted to him. So families, who will you serve? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Fathers, take an example from Joshua. Take his example here. And he led his house. Yes, he was near death, but he made the decision in their hearing, today, this day, we will serve the Lord, me and my house. Does that mean that all of his children walked in the ways of the Lord? Can't answer that. But we do know that those that were under his care and under his authority understood his zeal and his passion to be wholly devoted to the Lord. Fathers, do your families understand your passion and desire for you to be wholly devoted to the Lord? To be all in. Your families, your children see your life like no one else. And just like the mercy of God allowed the people to take time to put away from them the idols that were in their tents, so God is merciful to us today. And so God, if God's revealing in your life today things that are in your tent that do not belong, he's merciful. He gives you opportunity. Get rid of them. And make a choice today to serve the Lord. Why is this so important? Because there are generations to follow. And your decisions today, in a large way, help to shape the trajectory of your family. Now, I realize every individual will make a decision on their own. But as you lead your family, mom and dad, Your children have an incredible example before them that will, in a strong way, push them towards the Lord or away from Him. You see what took place in verses 29 through 31. And it came to pass that after these things, that Joshua, the son of the Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in the Mount Ephraim, in the north side of the hill of Gosh. And Israel served the Lord. Now listen, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, or overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. If you flip the page in your Bible, you find the book of Judges. And you go to Judges chapter 2. And you read for one of the saddest statements in the Bible. And in Joshua chapter 2 and verse 6, and when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. They buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gosh. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. What happened? Thought they chose to serve the Lord. What happened? Wrap your mind around that. And you tell me how important it is. Families, moms and dads, how important is it that you choose to serve the Lord today? And in serving the Lord today, you emphasize a knowledge of Him and a rehearsal of the works He has done for you in your life. And you make that a part of your family. That's a purpose statement for your family, that we might know the Lord and the works that He has done. That my children will know the Lord and the works that He has done. And I know that the next generation will make their own decisions. But listen, this is a sad testimony here. Something fell apart. Something collapsed. Was it just that God shut up their ears? Well, I don't know. But I would dare say that there might have been a failure. A failure to live in sincerity and truth. And so therefore a fear in the hearts of the leaders to pass on a knowledge of the Lord when they themselves were not fully living for Him. They knew not the Lord. Joshua's generation, they did. But the next one did not. What are you doing to make sure the next generation knows the Lord? What are you doing? I readily admit our world is so full of things that we can busy ourselves with anything and everything. and completely miss how important it is to pass on our faith. But we as the church, we must not fail at this. The next generation is relying upon us to bear the banner of truth and in sincerity, to serve the Lord, to fear Him. Are you making the Lord known through your life and through your words? Are you speaking of His works? That is what the people of Israel did over and over again. They rehearsed the works of the Lord. When is the last time you had a spiritual conversation with your family? Really? With one of your children? When you sat down at the table, when was the last time you said, let's talk about what God is doing in our family? Let's talk about our Lord and praise Him together and pray together. Let's do this. Let's be all in, because our God is holy. And He is a jealous God, and He knows your heart. He knows what's in our tent. May you stand on that day before the Lord, because you will. We will. And may you be able to look the Lord in the eyes and see His smile and hear His words faithful. Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful.